WildTalkRadio.com.
I have one question for everybody here tonight.
Are you ready?
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Now I put no stock in what any man thinks, only what I know. And what I know is this. The result will be just like the first time. I will put him 6 feet under. Game over.
Featuring Sir Rockin.
I am talent. I am fame. I am music. I am the air you breathe. I am everything.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
You think you know me.
On this day, I see clearly everything is come to life. A better place than a broken dream, and we'll leave it all behind. On this day, it's a
it'd be smart to hit that button. Everybody to the Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Presented as always by MBG Films. YouTube.com/MBG1211. Oh my god, it's been forever.
I'm not mad that I've heard this about 50 times in the last 24 hours because it's fine. I've missed hearing it so much, even though I have it on my phone and I can listen to it whenever I want, but there's just...
there's something.
There's something about that first initial lyric cutting through a roaring crowd at a wrestling show that just, I don't know, makes it beyond anything you've ever heard. Like, it just gives you chills every time you hear it. And I mean, the guy that comes out to it, he's pretty cool too. Let's all be real. We haven't seen him in a long, long time. If you don't know what we're talking about, if you live under a rock, Edge is back. And Edge is back for a while, guys, and this is going to be fun as hell. But we're going to talk about it, right? Because this is not my show.
It's not your show. This is the Raw Post Show, as I mentioned. I'm Rock. That's Lindsay. We're here to talk about Monday Night Raw, but we got some news we need to talk about to kick off the show, and it's not about the rated R superstar who needs his own personal ring announcer, which we'll get to in a bit. There was an angle on Monday Night Raw. It was a rematch between Humberto Carrillo and Andrade. So they had a match. It ended in a disqualification. And then we had a replay of what Andrade's been doing to Rey Mysterio and what he did to Humberto, where he pulls up the mat and drops him with a DDT on the exposed concrete. Well, Andrade, well, got hit with it this tonight. The reason they did the angle, which one, they didn't take the belt off him, was interesting because they think they still see high hopes for him. According to Pro Wrestling Sheet, Andrade has been suspended for violating the WWE's wellness policy.
Which is interesting, because normally when they have a violation, which is weird, they didn't have any for a long, long time. And now we're getting into this sort of like period again where we're starting to see more of them. I don't know if it's because people were getting ready for WrestleMania or getting ready for Royal Rumble or like what was going on, because you just had Bobby Roode come off of one not too long ago. So it's kind of, it's interesting that this is happening again. It's unfortunate it happened to Andrade right now.
This is the worst time. I mean, there's never a good time, but this is the worst time because we're on the road to WrestleMania, and if you're getting popped 30 days into the road to WrestleMania, that's not good for you. That means they have to change plans for whatever it may be for you at WrestleMania, because they plan matches out weeks in advance for WrestleMania, and it's like, all right, now what are we going to do? Do we still push Andrade? Do we bring him back and then take the strap off him? And he's relegated to a battle royal, because they see a lot in Andrade, which is why I believe he still is your United States champion despite being suspended for 30 days.
Well, I mean, honestly, if you have to have this happen to you, which hopefully nobody ever really has to have it happen, but if it has to happen to you, it's better to happen straight after the Rumble, because that gives you, okay, 30 days, so end of February, you still have, what, Mania's in April this year?
Mm-hmm.
So you still have about a month to get factored back into the plans.
You got 6 weeks, but it's still, it's not good time. It's
not great timing, but I mean, it's better to get it now than to get it like in February and then possibly or even March and miss WrestleMania. I think it's good. I mean, as bad as this is, it's good for Humberto Carrillo because they can do something with him to maybe have him cover for Andrade, which they kind of did tonight. And they could announce next week on Raw, you know, that Andrade has lost the U.S. title due to injury or whatever, and they're going to do a battle royal for it or something, and then Humberto becomes your U.S. champion.
I mean, Go ahead.
They could do that, or they could do it at the Saudi show.
They could.
Which would be ironic.
It would be ironic. I want to bring up something LeMaine's brought up. You feel like you should be hold the title even if you're suspended 30 days. Just look at Brock. Brock not showing up and someone screwing up are two different cases.
Yeah, this is a wellness pilot. If I can talk, this is wellness policy. It's not just not showing up. Like, this is a company imposed suspension, and normally when those happen, people do lose titles. Brock not showing up, technically Brock is in violation right now of defending the title over 30 days. But nobody really ever brings that up for him. And based on what he did last night, I don't know if anybody really wants to, except maybe Drew McIntyre. We'll get to that. But yeah, so it's kind of an apples to oranges situation. Like, if somebody wanted to bring it up to Brock, hey, by the way, you haven't defended the title since Survivor Series. You maybe want to do something about that.
Then it's called book me.
Yeah, it's called book him a match and he'll show up. But, you know, the fact that Andrade probably wasn't planning for this to happen. Something showed up. I don't want to accuse him of anything because I honestly don't feel like he was really doing anything, but we don't know what he was doing. But something registered that triggered a wellness violation, and here we are.
So that was that. Speaking of Drew McIntyre, he opened up Monday Night Raw. He's feeling good.
Dude, he should.
He's the number one contender, and he was wasting no time challenging Brock Lesnar to a match at WrestleMania.
Save us, Drew. You're our only hope.
But he's full of energy. He's full of excitement. He needs to work it all out. He just won the Rumble, and he wants to, you know, have a Claymore kick party.
Oh, dear.
So he's issuing an open challenge, and Gallows and Anderson come out. Anderson said, that sounded like an open challenge, and he accepts. And then Gallows says, I accept. Well, I'll fight you both. He kicked their ass in 2 minutes.
I mean, I feel bad for Gallows and Anderson. I really do. But at the same time, they're making Drew McIntyre. So I can't really complain about that. Like, I always don't like it when they take guys that are perfectly credible. And really, everybody is perfectly credible. But they don't, you know, basically do what they do for Aleister Black, where they just find somebody for Aleister to kick in the face.
Which happened tonight, by the way. So we'll just get that out of the way right now.
Aleister kicked somebody in the face. He won. And he said he's going to start challenging people. And, you know, I'm just going to say this. If Aleister wanted to challenge Seth Rollins and kick him in the face, I think we'd all be fine with that. But going back to Drew. So I wasn't too happy they did it with Gallows and Anderson, but still, Drew looked completely dominant. He looked like a boss. If they keep this up for him, I'm really glad about that, because Drew has a tough challenge ahead of him because Brock is not there. So he's got to do essentially a one-sided build for WrestleMania. And he doesn't have to do a lot, right? Because he won the Rumble. So the challenge is set. Like, it's set in stone. It's guaranteed for him that he's going to get to face Brock. But he's got to build a match, basically, between them. But, and that's where it's tricky.
But Brock was here tonight because he came in the ring, dropped McIntyre with an F5.
He's over the shock. He's moved on. And here we go. And what will help Drew, too, is that Heyman is at Raw. Yeah. So even if Brock's not there, Heyman can come.
Heyman, it'll be fine.
Yeah, it'll be good. It'll be really good.
And Brock will be around a lot more than people think.
Yeah, but I mean, here's the thing. You don't necessarily need Brock for this.
No, you don't.
Because Heyman does all his talking anyway. So you just need Brock to stand there and look scary. And then you have Heyman do what Heyman does. So it's really between Heyman and Drew to build the feud. But it all depends on how much Heyman's going to be coming out, which I suspect would be a lot. Because, again, he's there.
He's there. He's pulling the strings. I hope Drew keeps up the confidence that he showed tonight, because this was the best promo he's cut.
I hope he shows the personality.
That's what I'm saying. That he showed tonight that we haven't seen. So this was a good step, because we were talking last night, me and Lindsay, about Drew, and it's like, he's just missing something, and it's like, hopefully this is it. So we'll see. Rey Mysterio took on MVP. No, we are not watching SmackDown from 2008.
It's
Monday Night Raw in 2020.
I was going to ask what year it is, because we're doing MVP versus Rey Mysterio. Brock Lesnar's back. Edge is back. Like, what?
Morrison, Sheamus.
Yeah, Sheamus, McIntyre.
I mean, it's 2008 all over again.
Orton. Like, I'm just trying to figure out what's going on. Like, when did we travel back in time, and where is my grumpy old man? He's the only one that's missing.
This match fell a little off because there was a moment where it looked like Ray, took a shot to the head and just steamed out of it. It made the match a little awkward as it went forward, but Ray was able to get the win.
Ray looked good, MVP looked really good, and what's nice is MVP is sticking around for a while. He signed a new contract, so he's doing limited engagements with WWE. I don't think he's going to do the full schedule, but he'll be around for TV, so he'll be able to give it a little extra oomph.
For a little while.
Need it. For a little while. It's not, I don't think it's a long-term thing. I think it's only like a year.
We'll see. Seth Rollins and crew. Seth Rollins and Buddy Murphy came to the ring because they're scheduled to defend their tag team titles against Kevin Owens and Samoa Joe. He said he nearly won the Rumble, but it was not in the cards. He called for... He celebrated McIntyre and Warren and Joey while last because the fans will stab him in the back so fast. Rollins talked about eliminating Joe and Owens. Rollins eventually said, called out, let's go Samoa Joe and Kevin Owens, and Owens and Joe come out and they're like, something's up. Where's the AOP? Like, are they under the ring? Where are they? Because Rollins is way too confident.
I'm just going to say this. Kevin, honey, you know better than that. AOP can't fit under the ring.
So Rollins brought up a camera. He's like, hey, they're backstage. They're standing. And then it's like, yeah, that could be tape footage. We have all these cameras. They always catch everything. And Rollins said, say something. And Owens then had them clarify where they exactly were. Because the Viking Raiders showed up and attacked AOP.
I think my favorite part of this whole thing was Joe when Rollins is like, look, they're right there. They're in my locker room. See, they're right there. Wave, guys, wave. And they wave. And Joe's like, yeah, because, we totally don't work in a place with cameras and people that can record things and then broadcast things. Like, we totally don't work in a place that can do this at all. So, that's totally legit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, just that piece of that was so damn good. Like, I love Joe. I love that he's just like real subtly like, okay, so that's crap. And Rollins is like, are you calling me a liar? And they're both like, yeah. Because, I mean, it's Seth, right? Like, it's Seth. We all know. We all know better than to trust Seth. He's a weasel. That's what he does. So I loved that part of it. I mean, bless Samoa Joe. Bless Kevin Owens. I love this pairing so much. And then you couple the Viking Raiders into it where they just like went off on AOP. That was just beautiful. The whole thing was just beautiful. But the title defense, well, that wasn't as great, because Kevin and Joe failed in their attempt to capture the titles from Rollins and Buddy Murphy.
Owens hit the stunner on Rollins, but Murphy rolled him up for the 1, 2, 3.
So, but it was a good match. It was a very, very good match.
Good match.
We'll see where they go from here.
Becky was interviewed by Charlotte Caruso backstage and said that after she showered, looked at the title and hit her. She really is in a different league. She says she's beating everyone in the locker room. Then Caruso asked Lynch, what would happen if Charlotte Flair challenges her? If she challenges me, it won't be the first time, but it'll be damn sure it'll be the last time.
Are you sure about that?
And then they showed off the goat logo on the back of her jacket, which was nice.
She's very excited about the logo. Very, very excited about it. She was so cute. But yeah, we're going to talk about the Women's Rumble on Thursday, and we're going to see where this goes.
Mm-hmm. She has opinions.
I have opinions about it. We're going to talk about it. And by the tone of my voice, you can tell I wasn't very excited about it. But it wasn't what you think. So we'll talk about it on Thursday. I'm going to wait and hold judgment on whether they actually do Charlotte versus Becky, because Charlotte did indicate tonight she's going to challenge for a title. She just haven't said whether it's Bayley or Becky. Or even Rhea, but I don't think Rhea's in play at this point. So we'll see.
We shall see. We talked about the Andrade matchup. Charlotte came out and said she's going to challenge for a championship, but she hasn't decided what championship just yet. This brought out Asuka and Kairi Sane. Asuka sort of was laughing and yelling and screaming and basically led to Asuka and Charlotte having a match. Good match. Charlotte won by disqualification when Kairi hit the insane elbow for the disqualification. And then they both laid out Charlotte to finish the segment.
You know, I was sitting here and it's like, God, I really want Asuka to win. Like, I hate the fact that she lost to Becky last night and now she's going to lose to Charlotte tonight. And the fact that they did the DQ finish and they had Asuka and Kairi beat her down afterwards, like, that was fine. I was completely okay with that. I mean, I know my opinion doesn't really matter, but I feel like that was a really nice sort of like makeup for last night for Asuka and Kairi. Because they had a good showing, both of them did, but it's like they both lost. So, and they're your women's tag champions, so you have to make sure that they stay strong, especially heading into Mania.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a nice way to do that.
Mm-hmm. Mojo Rawley defended the 24/7 championship in an actual contest against No Way Jose.
This was weird.
He had his offensive lineman, Riddick Moss, with them. That's a thing. So it's a bodyguard. So yeah, anyway.
Okay. I mean, they found a Riddick Moss and found something for him to do. So good. Good on him. Waiting to see how long it takes him to turn on Rawley to get the title. But
we had a brand new 24/7 champion in the Cheeseburger Man, a.k.a. R-Truth. And then he lost the title again.
Yeah. I can't complain about what they're doing with it. I actually kind of am digging Mojo as a 24/7 champion and the way that they're booking this, where it's not just insanity. Because I love R-Truth, and I love the fact that he's like sort of like carry this title on his shoulders. But it's nice that there's a little bit of stability with this title right now, because there's been so many changes, you can't keep track of who the champion is. Like, inevitably, it's R-Truth, so it's like you can just say R-Truth is the champion, and you'll probably get it right.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, I don't know. So it's nice that Raleigh's like kind of bringing stability to it.
Liv Morgan beat Lana in about 2 minutes.
It was a thing. It happened. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Feud continues. Eric Rowan beat a dude.
And he's learned not to stick his hand in the cage anymore because he gets bit. That or has been bit so many times that he can't stand it because he's got his hand all bandaged up.
But that's where we're at in that story. But it was time for the main event. They've been promoting it all night long. They showed clips of Edge's biggest moments, his retirement, and his return.
Wait. Before we get there, because you brought up clips and that reminded me, I wanted to say this. So throughout the night, they were showing clips of said Rumble, right? Like, mm-hmm. That's what they were showing. And the first, like, lead-off clip that they use for the Rumble, I don't know why they led with this. I mean, I get the match was the very first one on the card. It's from Roman Reigns and Baron Corbin. But why they led with this picture, I don't know. So last night, they had a giant 3D Roman Reigns for his entrance, which is cool, right? It's really actually very cool that they did that, because they did a really nice job. But the problem is when they mocked it up, they mocked at him doing his, like, scream. So he's like all squunch faced and open mouthed, and he's got his fist thrown back, and he's like sticking his body out as he's getting ready to do like the fist, like the punch on the ground kind of thing. That's the pose, right? So it looks like he's doing something else. I'll let your imagination go to wherever you would like to go in terms of what that that is. But unfortunately, tonight, that was the very first thing they led with from the Rumble, was that picture of that 3D model on the screen. It's like, out of everything that happened in this match, the fact that like Baron Corbin and Roman destroyed 40 announce tables, beat each other all over the arena, did all this other stuff in this match, right? That's the picture you lead with. The Roman Reigns 3D model that is of questionable nature picture. Somebody in the truck was either trying to make a meme or is just really clueless. I'm not sure which. But it's like, wow, way to give us more fodder. Thank you for that. I don't think it's an after position. Technically, I think it's like a in-process position.
Moving on.
It's a very explosive position.
Moving on.
He's climaxing a little bit.
Speaking of climaxing, it's time for the climax of Monday Night Raw with the return of the Rated R Superstar, who needs his own personal ring announcer, Tony Chimo, back because Mike Rome does not do him justice.
Okay, Mike Rome did his best. Not saying Mike Rome did a bad job.
No.
But there is a way that you introduce Edge, and only the Tony Chimo way is acceptable. I'm sorry. We need the Rated R Superstar. We need that. That's how you introduce Edge. That's what we all know, we all love. So if we could just like have Chimmel come out, come back, and just introduce Edge, that would be great. You know what? He doesn't even have to come out. He could stand in the back with a mic. They could record it and just play it. It would be fine.
So Edge was shot out of a cannon and all hype, excited. He's back in on Monday Night Raw. He thanked the crowd for the reactions, and you know, they go, "You deserve it, you still got it." He goes, "You're damn right I do." Edge said it was time to address the elephant in the room. He recalled being medically disqualified 9 years ago. He said he opted to not to live with what ifs. He said the years went by and he started feeling pretty good about things. He said he started asking himself, what if he came back home? So he got to work. Fans started chanting, "Welcome home." Edge said he busted his ass, got in the best shape of his life, had a second neck surgery. That's key. So at 46 years old, he can come back into the ring and end the career on his own terms. Last night at the Rumble, he saw some old faces, some new faces. He talked about Randy Orton, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, even got to Matt Riddle. He says maybe we'll see each other all down the road. He said he
yes to all that.
Yeah. He said he wasn't fooling around himself. This may not last long. He doesn't know. It sounds like what Shawn said in 2002. He doesn't know how long this body can hold up when he won the world title. But he said he just hopes everyone joins him for the ride. He got his first yes chant. He thanked Daniel Bryan for that. He's older, grayer, has some crow's feet, but the roadmap got him here. And there's one thing and one thing you can't fabricate and you can't fake. You can't force this down someone's throat. I have grit. If you knock me down, I get back up. Then he heard voices in his head because Randy Orton came out. He came in, he hugged Edge. They shared a moment. Orton says no secret that he's a very self-destructive, especially when he was younger. He said that when he dug a hole that he couldn't get out of, Edge was the one guy pulled him out of that hole. Welcome home, Edge. Welcome home. And then he said that he felt the chemistry. It was very special. He said, what if Rated RKO got back together one more time? And the fans erupt, yes, yes.
And we're sitting here screaming, don't trust him!
So Edge is about to answer. RKO. Then Orton grabs a chair and smashes it right across the back of Edge. And you see him looking at what he's done. The fans are chanting, you suck at Randy Orton. Then he places Edge's head inside a chair. Conflicted, he's trying to debate things in his head of what to do. He's up on the top rope. He's about to, you know, destroy Edge's neck for good. But he got off the ropes, pulled the chair out, and started to leave. Then he quickly ran around ringside, grabbed the second chair, ran back in the ring, put Edge's head on top of the chair, and went smirked to the crowd, and delivered a concerto to the Rated R Superstar. This was perfect.
I have to give credit where credit is due to Randy Orton on this. He did a fantastic job with this, like the whole fake out where he's like struggling to like basically snap Edge's neck with the chair, and he's just sitting there with his hand, like kneeling next to Edge with his hand on the top of the chair as like Edge's head is between the two parts of the chair. And Randy is like really conflicted and he's acting really conflicted. Like that whole part of that was just so wonderfully executed by Randy. And then the fact that he takes Edge's head out of the chair, he tosses the chair aside, he shakes his head. He's like, no, I can't do it. I can't do it. And interestingly enough, the crowd booed. 9 years we've waited for Edge. Randy Orton comes out to murder him in the face, and we're all disappointed he doesn't do it. This, ladies and gentlemen, is why we cannot have nice things. But anyway, so Orton's walking away, right? He's not going to do it. We all think, all right, well, maybe Randy has a soul. Maybe he finally got one. Nope. Instead, he goes and does what Rock says. He gets his two chairs, and he does the concerto to Edge, leaving him laying to close the Raw. Like, that was really, really well done on Randy's part. Really done well done on Edge's part. I will say the one thing that I liked seeing, and I didn't mind seeing, was Randy was being beyond, and I mean beyond careful about all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, purposefully, intentionally being careful about how he handled Edge and everything that he did with him. And he was super gentle with it. Like, I can't complain about that at all, because I think there is a certain level of nervousness with Edge, because yeah, he's back and it's awesome he's back, but at the same time, as Edge said, you don't know how long this is going to go. You don't. He could be okay for 3 years, which is what he signed for, or he could be okay for a few months. We don't know, but we're going to enjoy the ride. And in terms of Mania, Randy and Edge,
okay,
all right, let's not going to complain.
Let's go.
Let's do it. This is good. This is fine. I think we're all fine with it. No issues.
So I'd keep Edge off TV for about a month. You do some medical updates. You do some of the doubting promo. You have Randy be Randy. Remember when Randy did those news segments way back in the day?
Oh, God. It's been forever.
Have him do one about Edge. That'd be some heat. And then you build it for about a month. Then you bring Edge back. Because you got 10 weeks. 9 after this.
Brent, I mean, Randy could die by best hands, but I'm pretty sure Edge is going to get to him first.
Yeah, but you never know. So, but that's how you do it. You slow build this. And it's like, I know the expectation is, well, the modern fan can't handle the long-term. Who cares if the modern fan can't handle long-term booking? It's 10 weeks. It's not long-term. Let them go for the ride.
If you do it right, where you tell the story properly, and it's interesting, and it's dynamic, and it's fun, and it's terrifying, and it's all the things it should be, the modern fan will not only be able to handle it, they will love the crap out of it. The trick to getting any fan to love any long-term story is you have to tell a good story. You have to do a great intro, a solid middle, and a strong ending. That's what you have to do. And WWE is not the best at that in current state. They used to be. They used to be able to do it really well, but they kind of sort of lose their way part of the way through the story, and then it generally has a weak, fairly unsatisfying, I would say, conclusion to a lot of them. So that is the key in this, is I think you could get a lot of people interested. I think you already have.
Mm-hmm. And you don't want to peak too early.
No, you don't want to peak too early, which is why this is a good thing, is you'll have Edge off TV for a while, probably till they go to Saudi, and then when they come back from Saudi, he'll reappear, or maybe he's going over. I don't know. We'll see. But, like, I feel like that's what you need to do, and you just continue to tell that story.
Mm-hmm.
And Randy is absolutely the right person to have Edge with for his first few back. Absolutely the right person. You have the history that you can reference back to. They're wonderful opponents. They're wonderful partners, but they're great opponents against each other. Especially when you have Randy being Randy and Edge being Edge. The two sleazemeisters of WWE. I will say I felt a little bad for Drew McIntyre. I'm going to say this and then we're going to wrap it up, but I think.
You run and go.
Like, I feel like tonight kind of should have been Drew McIntyre's night. And he got his moment in the sun. He got to, like, open the show. But, like, the entire night was dedicated to Edge's return. It's like, yeah, Drew McIntyre won the Rumble. He's going to challenge Brock. It's like, Charlotte won the Rumble. She's going to challenge whoever. It's like, yeah, yay! Now let's talk about the thing everybody actually cares about, which is Edge. And I mean, Edge deserves a huge welcome back, right? He deserves to have the show dedicated to him. It just really, really sucks. It's on the same show that it's the night after the Rumble. And it sort of like discounts what other people on the Rumble show did just a little bit. It's not Edge's fault. It's not WWE's fault. It's not anybody's fault. It's just, it happens, right? It's a huge return that none of us ever expected. Like, it's always been that dream that Edge would come back, but it's always followed up with no. No, because it was made abundantly clear to us for a long, long time that he was not okay. And he would never be able to wrestle again. Here we are. What are we supposed to do? Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I just feel a little bad for Drew and Charlotte that, you know, they kind of had that spotlight stolen just a little bit from them because Edge came back.
He did, but that's okay. You have many weeks to build him up.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll all have their moments. But that's it. We're done.
Matt, I don't think that's exactly the same thing.
Anyway, tomorrow, Wednesday, after Ms. and Mrs. ends on the USA Network, you'll be able to check out the Rack Extra Reviews, Ms. and Mrs. Season 2, Episode 1, the moment it ends. So look forward to that. The Rack will be live Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern.
That's right. Tune in because we will be doing our Royal Rumble review. We'll be talking all about the show, plus news notes, NXT, all your favorites. It's The Rack, Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Check out The Rack Extra Reviews, Worlds Collide, with myself, Lindsay, Omega, and the intern. Available now at WildTalkRadio.com and RackRadioShow.com, RackRadioShow on all social media platforms, and you can find it on every podcasting outlet available. Saturday night, midnight edition, another edition of CBR, CBRLive.com, GrowTheGreatDebate.com. Remember, Fortnite with Friends airs on Thursdays and Saturdays and random times when I feel like playing Fortnite, like 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Monday. You can check out the VODs now at twitch.tv/WGLive, which you can follow and subscribe to right now. If you have Amazon Prime, you can link it to your Twitch account. It's called Twitch Prime. You can subscribe for free. Use credit code RocketSock at the Fortnite Name Shop. As mentioned on Sunday night, Russell Talk Radio will be taking a break for the Super Bowl. So there you go on that one. We'll be back next Monday for a Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
You can follow me on most of the social medias and on Twitch at Lens Ward, LNSWRD.
So, thanks to MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. We'll see you Thursday night for The Rack. I'm right back here for the Rob Post Show, Long There Was the Wild Talk Radio Network. Right here at twitch.tv/WTLive and wildtalkradio.com. They talk to me. They talk to me. WildTalkRadio.com.